This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing. From the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Oh, so sad. No TUE. Brought to you by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalesian. I'll push it.
Come get some.
Yeah.
Love an echo. Let me say good evening to Michael and Don.
I was always a Cheryl Ladd guy.
Over Fawcett.
Yes. I was formulating this opinion while you were knee-deep in box scores.
I said it could have been point guard hours ago.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I can't help Anthony's career.
Oh, my goodness. It's so insulting. It's so insulting to Anthony, to me,
really
to
is.
People in general.
To just kill two birds with one stone like that is really awesome.
Good evening to Michael.
I gagged.
Good evening to Don.
Raisins are delightful.
Good evening to Don.
Listen, I got nothing.
Good evening to myself. If I was a woman, I'd be wearing a push-up bra every day. Good evening to the show.
Don, Gretzky. Be honest here. Are you embarrassed that you're leading Wayne Gretzky?
You should be. Good evening to Tiger Woods.
I love golf.
And with that,
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
You just love Tiger. Sniff him. Sniff him dead.
I love golf.
Here's Tiger.
I love Lamp.
Do you really love Lamp?
More than golf.
All right, what will your body allow you to do this weekend, Tiger?
Well, I have an amazing medical staff that has really helped me get through this. Kobe's really been there through thick and thin to help me get into this position, and it's a daily adaption. We work at it each and every day, whether it's trying to loosen me up or strengthen me or it's just recovery. My practice sessions certainly aren't what they used to be. I used to, you know, live on the range or live on a short game facility and just be out there all day. That's no longer the case, and so I just have to be more focused on when I do get a chance to get out there and practice and really grind out and make every shot count, because I just really don't have the ball count in me anymore. So those adaptations have, you know, hopefully I've made them for this week.
What would it mean for you to make the cut? All right, your 24th straight cut at the Masters.
Well, it's consistency, it's longevity, and it's a understanding of how to play this golf course. That's one of the reasons why you see players that are in their 50s and 60s make cuts here, or it's players in their, you know, late 40s have runs at winning the event. It's just an understanding of how to play it. Now, you still have to go out and execute it, but there's a lot of knowledge that goes into.
All right, a little long in the tooth there, Tiger.
Oh, you think?
Let's. How about
don't ever play it again?
Are we trying to purge the system?
No, this is a more interesting one, I think.
It's not interesting.
What's preventing?
If he couldn't golf, you wouldn't talk to him.
Well, okay, that Don, you would admit that's an unfair standard for a sports talk show.
But I'm with Mike.
Okay, what? Tell me what Aaron.
There are some athletes that are interesting.
Well, no. What Aaron Boone audio we play on the show if he wasn't?
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
No,
Aaron Boone is funny.
I love
it. Quick.
I love it.
He has a voice that actually you can listen to.
This guy's droning on. Hold
on.
Two things. Aaron Boone is funny and quick. The cuts that we play are often not funny and quick. We play them because he's the manager of the New York GD Yankees.
I get that, and you're
Tiger
a big
Woods
fan.
Is the greatest. I am a big Yankee. And I love Aaron Boone, but Tiger's the greatest golfer who's ever lived.
Let's put it this way. If Aaron Boone ran a bodega, all right?
Yeah.
You would go in and talk with him because he's funny and he'd make you laugh.
You might hang around and drink your
beer. If Tiger Woods did anything but was great at golf, he'd be a colossal bore.
You might drink your coffee at the bodega and just chew the fat with
him. Chew the fat.
All right. So wait. If the question is, does Aaron Boone have a better personality than Tiger Woods? The answer is yes, of course he does. If the question is, though, would we randomly play Aaron Boone audio on the show if he wasn't manager of the Yankees, I'm still going with no.
Well, but there's a wall in my house, like in the back part of the house, that has a better personality than Tiger Woods.
What if there were callers? You would take Aaron's call before you take Tiger's.
Yes.
I love golf.
That's all. That's what we're trying to say, Peter.
One more, though. What has prevented you, Tiger, from... You said you wanted to play once a month. What's been preventing you?
I wasn't ready to play. My body wasn't ready. My game wasn't ready. And I thought that, you know, when I was at Hero, you know, once a month was would be a really nice rhythm. It hasn't worked out that way. But now we have major championships every month from here through July. So now the once a month hopefully kicks in.
Come on, that's fun.
Never has anybody been more worthy of a playout than him.
You know what? You don't know that. We have more audio here. You never know.
I gagged. Well, from Marcel Marceau?
Let's see how Dan Hurley does. Hey, Coach Hurley, congrats on back-to-back championships. Are you entertaining any other jobs?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that.
What does that mean, though? Does that mean his wife has no interest in leaving, or does that mean I just don't make decisions?
His wife is from Jersey, and I'm sure that the farthest she wanted to go was Storrs, Connecticut.
Or Rhode Island.
She doesn't want to go to Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I think he's sticking around. I really do. I do not.
I mean, he just signed a contract, too.
I just don't think he, and like, what? Here's the question I have, and we were talking about this the other day, Don. Yes, Kentucky's sexy.
Hmm.
Is it sexy enough to move your entire family from the East Coast to Kentucky when you're already making a lot of money and you could go on, in his mind, he probably believes, I could go on to have a UCLA-like run right here in Connecticut. I don't think the upgrade is enough, Michael, to make you uproot your life. It's not going from the Anaheim Angels to the Yankees. It's not. It's more like going from the Cubs to the Yankees. It's a marquee, if the Cubs had won more. But it's a marquee team already. I just don't see it as appealing enough.
Well, I mean, I can't really argue with you because Connecticut is now a blue blood. That's all there is to it. They're amazing. They win championships more than anybody else. So it's hard to argue, but Kentucky is like the Yankees.
Right. Well, I guess the better comp would be if you're winning championships with the Rams and going to the Packers. The Packers is the more prestigious job, but you're moving to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That, you know what, Don? Can you do reverse point guard?
Yeah, listen, I got nothing.
No, that was a good one.
Now, also, he signed, I think, a contract where he's going to make like $5.5 million a year.
Not bad.
Which is, well, not bad. That's about what you make.
I take it.
And, you know, Kentucky, Calipari just left. He's making $8.5 million. So, if you're driven by money, but, you know, the UConn AD said we'll do whatever we can to keep him. That's what contracts mean now. But does he go for more money? Does he at least listen to get bumped up at UConn?
I'll tell you what, if he's smart, I would definitely talk to them, threaten, and try to get more out of UConn. That I don't think that's good business. He should probably get more anyway, right, for what he's accomplished the last couple of years. When did he get the contract? Was it at the end of last year or before?
No. I think in the middle of this year.
Oh, middle of this year. Okay. That's a little too soon. But, you know, it doesn't hurt asking, right?
Yeah, I'm in the process of asking for a contract renegotiation.
Are you asking $5.5 million?
Because I'm only 4 months into my new deal. Just who do I ask, though? That's what I don't know.
That's, you know what? It's a tough question.
Yeah, listen, I got nothing.
Dan Hurley, just how impressive is this back-to-back? Where does it stand with the others, Florida and Duke?
It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much, do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did. They brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
I love him because he's cocky.
No,
he's not afraid to say what he thinks.
No, he means it. Meanwhile, Mike Greenberg, he has an idea. Greeny, we're talking about. He has an idea for Kentucky.
He wasn't run out of there, thrown out of there, or anything. He left the Knicks on his own to go coach Kentucky after having resurrected them and taken them to the playoffs and won a playoff round. He leaves to go to Kentucky and builds up what was going to be a dynasty at Kentucky. And then he was so big, the Celtics came and offered him everything. Couldn't have gone worse. And then he left. He went back to college. He went to Louisville, and he was won like crazy there. Call him and beg him. Rick, come back. You have two separate conversations about Rick. You can dislike him. Plenty of people do. I'm not his PR representative. I don't care one way or the other. But that guy can coach.
I think if he wasn't I think he's 71 or 72, they would call. I think his age will play against them. They want to coach for 10 years.
Yeah, that's true. They're probably looking for a little bit more stability.
Now, what's going to be interesting is that Calipari had a great recruiting class. And the last time he left the school, I think it was Memphis, right, to go to Kentucky?
Right.
He took all of his players with him. Because you're not signing on to go to Kentucky, the university. You're going to Calipari University. So he's picking up and going to Arkansas. Does he leave the cupboard bare and have all those players come with him?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Klay Thompson went on Draymond Green's podcast.
Sure he did.
And Draymond asked him an interesting question.
I want to ask you this question. And I want to ask it because I'm afraid of the answer. When I get ejected or something of that nature or suspended, what do you feel? How do you feel? Please be brutally honest with me. It's going to crush me, but I need to hear it.
Well, I mean, it happens. I mean, you know what, Dre, you're kind of a throwback player. So when you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. Me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we could never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. We just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of just like shaking your head that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you.
What an intelligent, well thought out, respectful answer.
But what he probably meant was, we think you're a complete jerk for doing it, but, and leaving us high and dry.
But he was saying that he misses them, but he did it in a nice way.
Yep.
So you don't lose a friend and lose a teammate. That's a nice way of saying it.
I agree.
Well, I don't know if you know this. That's Klay Thompson.
I'm familiar with it.
Now, meanwhile, Stephen A. Smith has some thoughts on Klay Thompson and what he would like to see him do.
I think that when you look at Klay Thompson, this is his way of saying goodbye, preparing himself for the end in Golden State. Let me assure you, there's at least 20-25 teams that should want Klay Thompson. Wow. And let me raise my hand. Those New York Knicks should be one of them. Those New York Knicks should be one of them. Let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something. You wanted to. I'm talking about Klay Thompson, who has struggled with consistency this year. Give me Klay Thompson in New York City. He ain't going to want to, because if he ain't in Golden State, he probably want to be in L.A. Can't blame the Southern California sunshine and all that stuff. You understand? But let me tell you something. If Klay Thompson were in a New York Knicks uniform, I would throw a house party. And he wouldn't be there, and I wouldn't give a damn. It would be orange and blue all over my house, and I would throw a house party.
I don't agree with Stephen A.
You wouldn't be excited?
No, he's not the same player. If he was the same player, Golden State would want him. He's so different after all those injuries. He's inconsistent. He's not the difference maker that he used to be. The Knicks could spend that money so many different ways. I don't think that would be my priority to get him. I mean, if you could get him really cheap, okay. But I'm not spending big money. And again, he wants to be in Golden State. And if he was the same player, he would be.
It's true.
Listen, I agree he is not the guy anymore. I do think he could be a nice piece on a team that's close.
But is he the difference for the Knicks? I don't think so.
I don't think he's the difference, but at the same time, it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what the Knicks would need.
Help.
Exactly.
Because honestly.
The unfortunate part is we didn't get a real enough of a look of this team with Randall, Jalen, and OG to truly know what piece they're missing. Wouldn't you guys agree? We got it for a second.
I think Knick people did. I think they got enough. I think they saw enough. They
how many exactly games? How many games do we have Julius and OG?
All of January when they were 11-2 or 14-2.
Julius was there the whole time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
didn't they?
Maybe a game or two, but I believe so.
I still can't. I just don't know what the piece would be.
Honestly, if they had stayed healthy, we're talking about a team that it's clearly the two. Now they wouldn't be Boston, but they'd be clearly the number two, and we'd be talking about a team playing in the conference final. Correct, Michael?
I believe so.
And disappointed if they didn't get
right
that far.
Well, what they've done is they've taken expectations away. If they get there, yeah, we'll be thrilled, but we would be surprised.
So when you're talking about possibly the fourth or third best team in the NBA, Peter, or maybe even the second best, because it's not like Minnesota and Denver have been running away with things, how much more would you need?
That's what I'm saying. Michael, I got to ask you a question.
Tell me anything.
Are you prepared for what you want to talk about with Damian Priest tonight on the broadcast?
No, I'm just here's what I thought. Now I'm glad you asked.
Let's talk about it. It's CNN. This is what we do.
I'm going to ask you. Should I ask Damian and Paul to take their shirt off?
No. Damian doesn't
just
even
to compare physique.
But Damian doesn't even wrestle with no shirt. So that would be
that would be breaking news by me.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to do that.
Why? Is he shy about being nude?
I don't know. I don't know if he's shy about being nude. I doubt it, given the career he has. But what I'm saying is he's not like a huge physique guy. That's not kind of his thing. Damian's like an overall look, good wrestler, interesting voice, charismatic. He's not Bobby Lashley. You know, he's not jacked up.
Well, maybe I'll ask him if he could pin O'Neal.
Well, there's nothing to say there. You know, let me tell you what you don't want to do.
What?
You don't want to put the newly crowned champion in.
What kind of champion is him? So I get it right.
He's the world heavyweight champion.
Oh, wow.
So there is still another title that you can argue is bigger. It's the title that Cody Rhodes won this weekend.
And what's that called?
That's called the don't even ask why it has the word undisputed in it. How could it be undisputed if there's also a world heavyweight championship? Mm-hmm. But that's called the undisputed universal WWE championship.
So that means like in all planets.
Exactly. So don't get caught up. Just focus on world heavyweight champion.
Is there still a TV champion?
No.
Bruno Sammartino.
That's right. So they have a US champion and an intercontinental champion. Anyways, so here's what I would focus on, if you care. Number one, he won the title by cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. That he had that briefcase when he came to see us sitting on the desk.
Yeah.
He cashed that briefcase in at night two, at WrestleMania Sunday, and he beat Drew McIntyre for the title. So you could have some fun with asking, like, does it really feel like a fair way to win a championship? I mean, the guy was just beaten up.
I think I'm probably going to lean on him like Love It in the Yankees. I don't know if we want to.
All right. Well, hold on.
WWE minutia. Yeah.
Okay, how about
not
one
a center
more?
Stage.
Hold on.
Yeah, I don't even know what the money in a suitcase is.
Money.
What does that mean?
It's Money in the Bank briefcase.
What does that mean?
Don't even worry about it. Well, you get a contract. You have to win a ladder match. You get the contract. It's in the briefcase. And when you turn in the briefcase, you get a shot at the title.
It was right on the desk that we were doing.
It was sitting right there. Okay, let's not focus on that. Here's one you can include that you'll like. So, Undertaker showed back up at WrestleMania.
Hate it.
Undertaker is his like all-time favorite, number one. And he saw Undertaker over the weekend. I know this because he told me the story. He had a mask that he wore, and he asked Undertaker for his feedback, and he had a whole conversation with him, and Undertaker was like, oh, that's awesome. You should do it. Huh. So it could be a funny spot for Michael to just tell Damian Priest, the Undertaker makes me sick. I can't believe he came back again.
Oh, that's good stuff, Michael.
Because the Undertaker,
I might go that route.
I just wanted to throw that out there for you. No worries. What about the great honor that he had to hang out with Miss Hatton to celebrate his championship win? I mean, that's a dream for everybody.
Yeah, it would be a dream for me, but I don't know. You know what? 500,000 people are watching Yankee baseball that don't quite know who Miss Hatton is.
Well, they should know who what the humble brag is. How many people are watching?
Yeah,
the 500. Is it 500 tonight?
It might be more. Who knows?
That's not true. They're breaking 500 tonight.
I don't know. Yankees, Marlins, I'm not going to
That's calm down.
I mean, I got to be honest here. I don't know.
I mean, this is interleague play at its best. This is the interleague you dream of.
Well, this is celebrating the 21st anniversary of the 03 World Series.
See, I didn't even realize. I'm going to open it back.
You know what? 20. You throw out the record books when these two get together. But, man, I just saw the video of a priest meeting Judge. I think he was visibly excited. This is true joy.
Oh, my God.
Now, speaking of baseball and pitchers, Justin Verlander, why are pitchers getting injured so often?
I think the game has changed a lot. I think it'd be easiest to sit here and blame the pitch clock. You know, I think in reality, you put everything together and everything has a little bit of influence. The biggest thing is the style of pitching has changed so much. You know, everybody's throwing as hard as they possibly can and spinning the ball as hard as they possibly can. And, you know, it's hard to deny those results, obviously. Double-edged sword. How can you tell somebody to go out there and not do that when they're capable of throwing 100? And you know, this young guy comes up and throws a pitch 95 and gives up a big homer, and everybody's like, what the hell, man? So something needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, what he's saying is right. And what can change? How are you going to tell people, don't get your bag? Don't throw the ball so hard. Because if they don't throw the ball so hard, they won't make the big leagues. They won't stay around. So wouldn't you rather just get Tommy John surgery?
But like Buster said, what you want to do is incentivize pitching deep into the game. So how
and
do
in
you
order
do
to
that?
Do that, you can't throw hard all the time.
Right. So that means you got to compromise early to save late. But they're thinking, I'm going to get taken out of this game after five anyway, so I'm going to lay it all on the line and leave with a scoreless tie or whatever, and whatever happens, happens, but I got to get mine. And what and those numbers, the analytic numbers, are going to work no matter how many innings you pitch. I mean, right? Snell's not a guy that goes deep in the games. He won the Cy Young last year. So that's what they're thinking. But how do you incentivize getting your bag, as you put it, by making sure you pitch deep in the games? How do you do that?
It's hard to put the milk back in the udder.
Well, it means paying on wins and paying on other statistics that they don't look at.
Michael, I can't hear what Nick Swisher's been saying.
But
on this
I'm watching it too. I want to hear what he's saying.
I'll have what he's having.
I'm going to need you to watch it back and maybe sit him down.
I'll ask Meredith what he was saying because it looked exciting.
He's really Nick Swisher on this batting practice show has been putting in an energy I've never seen on a baseball.
Now tell me this, Peter, because you're an expert.
Yeah.
Tell me Nick Swisher would not be perfect at WWE.
I didn't hear a word he said, so
but
it'd be hard
for me
to
say. Actions.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of actions.
Hand movement, the whole deal.
A lot of hand movement. But, you know, Michael, I don't know if you know this, our job actually requires more than just having big hair and making lots of hand gestures.
Yeah, but he speaks well, so.
Well, I'll take your word for it. That'll do it for ENN, presented by our good friends over at Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Dodge Power Shot Days, Jeep Celebration, and Ram Truck Month.
Enjoy all the sports tonight. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.